Good morning, y'all. Welcome to our 10 a.m. service. Join me in the house of the Lord with you today. Today's going to look a little differently than what a normal service would look like. This is typically the portion where we kind of cut the kids loose and then I talk at you for 30 minutes. But we're not doing that today. You're welcome. So the kids are going to be with us. We knew that. We planned on it. And we kind of talked through it, like what would be kind, one, to them and to you. And given that we're not together for the next 2 weeks, we thought, by we I mean I, thought, what a like great time to be together and read through the Christmas story together. And so instead of me reading it to you, we've got about six folks who are going to come read, not at the same time, but different portions of it to us for a few reasons. One, you know, we kind of opened this Advent series up by saying it is a time when the church slows down and kind of focuses on the manger and what happens on that Christmas morning. And it's always our aspirational identity that that's going to be true. The problem is we live in a real world, not an aspirational world. And so if your life is like mine, and you're a lot cooler than I am, and so it's not, but it's busy. And December is a beast, and we've got Christmas programs, you got office Christmas parties, you got all this stuff going on, and so we thought the best way to slow down is just to read what the Word of God says about what this time is to be. And so there is something powerful in the public reading of Scripture. It is the very Word of God. We believe that to be true. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then our first reader will make their way up to the front. And then we're going to start. We're going to read all the way through this. And so ChatGPT said it would take 12 minutes. So we'll see if we're smarter than robots. See how long we can take. So let me pray for us, and then our first reader, if you'll come forward. Lord, we do, in your kindness and your mercy to us, long for this time. Both today and seasonally, to be one in which we can hear from you, that you could cut through the chaos of a Christmas season, that you stand over the deep chasm of death and darkness that surrounds us and scream words of life into our hearts. So Jesus, will you do that for us as we read and hear about the birth of you? The one who did come and laid aside the glories of heaven to live amongst us. So Jesus, let us have a fresh encounter with you as we read your word and then partake of the elements of communion following that. Jesus, be with us in it and through it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading is from Luke 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Luke 1:39-56. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
A reading from Luke 2:1-7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Luke 2:8-20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told them. Oh, as it had been told them.
Luke 2:21-32. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel.
Luke 2:33-40. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword that will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
There's a part in church tradition and church liturgy when the reading of the word is done, the pastor says, this is the word of the Lord, and the people respond, thanks be to God. We'll do it one more time. This is the word of the Lord. Excellent. Well, we don't want to gather without coming to the table, that we look and see the elements of what's on display here, and how messy it is to match this, like with what we just read, and how Scripture intends for that to happen, that there is a tendency to get lost in the nostalgia of what Christmas means, that we can kind of separate it from the fact that the announcement of Jesus coming in the way that he did ends here. It was a donkey ride to a stable and then a long, lonely walk to the place where he would be crucified. And what all that meant for his life and for the 33-ish years between those two pivotal moments, that the Lord would live and walk amongst us and have the vision of this be the mission of his life, that he would be the one that was promised, as we just heard read, that he would save the people from their sins. And so we don't want to leave this room and go to another Christmas party, you're welcome, without acknowledging that truth and that fact, that of all that it means to sit and to listen and to worship what the Lord has done for us, it meant it was messy before he got there. And so we're going to do that together. We're going to do that this morning, because we also know that what this time does for us is that it brings up a lot of complications and a lot of hard feelings. And as you're walking into church this morning, you're walking in here either riding high or you're down low, and you're like, I need God's people, and I need God's word, and I need his body and his blood, and I need people to pray for me. And so we want to offer to you Randy and Jenny Miller. They'll be in the back during this time. They would love to pray for you. But as we prepare our hearts for the table, Paul tells us that we don't do this flippantly. We don't do this in an unworthy manner. What he means by that is, if you feel like the Lord's lucky to have you at his table, that he's, why wouldn't he come on Christmas? Look how great I am. Like, if that's the posture of your heart, we would ask that you would stay in your seat and do business with the Lord. Repent of that and then come and take. In the same way, if you're here and you're not a Christian, this is the meal of God for the people of God. This is for those who have placed their faith in him, who have placed their trust in him. And if that's not you, we would ask that you would stay in your seat. I would plead with you to not let another moment pass you by, that you don't receive and rest in Christ alone for salvation, as he's offered up in the Gospels, as he's offered up in the Scriptures, as he's offered up in what you just heard, that he truly is the one who died to take away all your sins. We have kids in here. This is not normal. It's beautiful. And so your kids are probably going to want to grab a wafer. Don't let them grab a wafer. There's a reason behind that. Again, this is the meal of God for the people of God. We want those who come to this table to be able to kind of articulate what they believe about the Lord. Now, if your kid can articulate that, please come and talk to us first. We would love to have them at the table. But for now, we would ask that bring them up with you. We would love to see that. We'd love for them to witness what we're taking. Just don't slip them wine for legal and eternal purposes. But for the rest of us, those who have placed our faith in Jesus, those who see him as more beautiful and more believable than all these things that vie for our heart's affection, this table is for you. And so we're going to confess together, a confession found on the screen as we prepare our hearts. Because on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." In the same manner, he took the cup and raised it up and said, "This cup represents the blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim his death until the day that he returns." So we're going to do that together. We're going to read a confession found on the screen. After that, we'll have a time of private confession. And then you'll be released by Rose to come and partake as usual. Lord, in your goodness to us, and in your favor and in your mercy, we ask that you now would come and be with your people. That you would, in your kindness to us, in your mercy to us, and how you have loved us with such an unfailing love, Lord, that we lose sight of that, and you forgive us of that. So, Lord, as we root out all this sin, we know that we're not going to find it. There's too much there. It's too sneaky. And so we trust your words that you have forgiven us and that you cast those sins as far as the east is from the west, to toss them into the depths of the sea and you remember them no more. So, Jesus, do that for us now, we pray. It's in your name. Amen.